Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Are you lost without your phone? Literally. When was the last time you used a physical map to plan your journey? Because we have become so reliant on digital sat-navs that now more and more people are finding themselves lost without their Google Maps. This is according to the Mountain Rescue England and Wales Group, which have published figures highlighting the number of people who've required call-outs because their phone died or their phone wasn't in service and they couldn't get access to their Google map. Our reporter Josh Crosby has been out and about in the streets of Dublin asking people today just how reliant are they on their Google map.
Phones are everything these days. Like, your phone is gone, your left hand is gone, isn't it?
And do you ever try maybe just ask them for directions or
pull into
a garage?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, I used to do skip driving about 10 years ago and all I had was a map. Yeah.
But you wouldn't chance the map anymore?
No, Google Maps is the best way to go now at the moment, isn't it?
I would ask someone in the countryside, but not in the city. Yeah.
Well, you feel like in more rural areas, the local person has more knowledge of the area?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, especially for like local areas of interest, you know, like secret spots or secret beaches. The locals are always so friendly.
And something that the sat-nav just can't provide.
Yeah.
I'm from Australia, just come in. I just Google Maps everything. I just did it just then. I wanted a chemist, so I just, a pharmacy, so I just said pharmacy near me, click, that's where I'm going.
Well, hopefully you find it.
I'll find it, all right, yeah.
Will I give you the directions?
Go on then.
Yeah, so there's one, if you just go down there, take a right, and then cross over the road, and it's on your right. Would you understand that, or would you prefer to use the phone?
But do you know why I would understand it? Because it's the same one that's on the phone, so I already know where I'm going.
Okay.
So I got a mental picture of the map.
So you got the digital version, and you got the vocal version.
Yeah. But without the digital version, I might not have quite had the same mental picture as what you just described.
Okay, well, just
but I'd have given it
bend.
A go. Yeah.
I wouldn't trust anyone to give me directions, if I'm being honest with you. Like, if I'm going anywhere, I map it out before I even leave the house on my Google Maps. And, like, even when I'm in the car with, like, my friends or something, like, for us, it's just non-negotiable. Do you know that little sticky thing to put your phone up? Yeah, I definitely think we're so reliant on them. I think it's just a very Irish thing. They're like, down there, around there, just pass that down there. And you're like, oh, yeah, no worries, thanks.
I'm absolutely desperate. I am so reliant on Google Maps. I use it all of the time, even when I don't need it. I don't know why. For whatever reason, I still use and take out my Google Maps and use it constantly. It's absolutely desperate. I'm even embarrassed to admit that. Editor of CompleteCar.ie, Shane O'Donoghue, is with me on the line today. Are you lost without the phone, Shane?
Hi, Andrea. I wouldn't say lost, but I guess I'm as reliant on it as everybody else, really. I don't quite go to the stage of turn on Google Maps every single time I get in the car. But actually, even on roads I know, I use it just to, you know, see if the traffic's bad or see Google Maps.
Yeah, exactly. I know the route, and I still put it on.
Find a better way around.
And often it'll bring you a longer route. It'll bring you a worse journey.
Sometimes, I don't know, I find it pretty trustworthy for most things. And I drive a lot abroad, and it's brilliant for that, of course. That's when you're out of your own comfort zone, away from roads, you know, it's absolutely phenomenal, of course.
Why is that? Why do you think we still look for the comfort of having, you know, the knowledge base in our hand, Shane, that we can access it at any moment?
I don't know. Is it just a screen addiction thing? Maybe it is. Is it like a
Possibly.
Little toy or a little bit of distraction or entertainment as the journey is going? You know, if a lot of people look at the time to destination and go, oh, I'm sure I can get there quicker than that. Things like that, you know. I don't know. It's a gamification of mapping or something. But there's no doubt everybody's the same. And it actually, I know I'm here to talk about driving, but it's not just in cars. People walking around use it a huge amount too.
Yeah, even as a pedestrian, I have Google Maps on my phone always, and I often know where I'm going, and yet I'll still put in the destination on Google Maps, and maybe it's just to see if there's a quicker way, but I'm definitely overly reliant on it. If my phone went dead, I would be absolutely snookered. What about you, Edward? Do you rely on Google Maps?
Oh, no, but we use it, and everybody uses it. It's not. But it should be used as a guide rather than a definite. Like, one of the things that you were just saying there was that sometimes the Google Maps will actually bring you a different way to go to where it is. And what it actually is doing there is that it is using everybody else's phone, so that if it detects that there's a big jam on a particular road or it's very slow, it'll shoot you to a different road to bring you to where your destination is quicker, although that you think it is slower.
And some of the routes, Edward, that it, you know, it will actually, that it'll divert you to, are absolutely brutal. The roads are awful, and yet we'll still follow
it. Yes, but one of the main things is, and I was saying it earlier, just that it's really, really dangerous for if you're truck driving or if you're towing a caravan or if you're doing something that is just other than the norm of driving your car, because it will bring you down roads that is not capable of taking on the bridges, yeah. Low bridges, stuff like that there, you know, that you just can't do it. I think people just use driver aids a wee bit more than what they actually should be. They're only meant to be a guide.
Not that we're something we're meant to live by. Adele Doherty is with us. Adele is from Mountain Rescue Ireland. I know we're talking about this today because of the figures that are out from Mountain Rescue England and Wales, talking about the number of call-outs that they have to deal with, Adele, but I'm sure it's no different for you guys.
Yeah, it can be very similar, like in the same way that we want everyone to go out and enjoy the mountains and to have a good time. And even if they're not particularly experienced with it, we want them to go out and kind of get familiar with it. But it's definitely not through Google Maps, because much like the guys were saying with, you know, if you're towing something, it's hard to reverse back up a road. It's very hard sometimes to come down a mountain when you've got stuck halfway up it. So, we try to kind of give people other options to be safe on the hills.
So when people are going out for a hike in an area that they don't know, typically they do tend to use their Google Maps, do they?
Some kind of very novice people, or if they kind of maybe saw something on Instagram and they think that looks lovely, let's go there too. That's maybe where that can happen. But even for ourselves as mountain rescuers, like, we would rely heavily still on paper-based maps. So we would still have specific apps like Outdoor Active and different things that we use to help us navigate on the hills. But like that, phones can die, coverage can drop. You might drop it into a bog hole and you're just going to have to go back to relying on a paper map to get around. So it can really depend, I guess, on the people that are going out on the day.
Is that what the majority of the call-outs you're dealing with? Somebody maybe whose coverage has just died or the map isn't loading?
It can vary. So a lot of the time it is mostly kind of injury and maybe just getting lost, or maybe it's taking them longer than they thought and it's getting dark or the weather has changed and they're not prepared. But even in those cases, when someone gets into trouble on the hill, they have to use their phone to dial 112 or 999. Then they have to ask for kind of mountain rescue and go through all of the steps. And in the case of the mountains, you could be anywhere from maybe half an hour up to 3-4 hours before help can actually get you, even if they go as fast as they can from the moment you ring. Mm. And sure, in that time, your phone can die and your battery starts to get low and you start to worry, what if when they ring me back to find out more information, yeah, I'm not able to answer the call. So it can be a big element for us as well.
So for people, I'm just thinking of the good weather, you know, over the next couple of days and into the bank holiday weekend, Adele, if people are planning hikes or maybe, you know, a novice group or heading off on a trip, what is your advice to them then?
Our advice really is always just to be prepared. So be prepared for any eventuality. Weather can change. It might even end up hotter than you expected and people might start to kind of, you know, suffer a bit of heat exhaustion, or they might not have enough water with them. So preparing ahead is always good. In terms of navigating, it's always good to look up online what the popular routes are, what people might have said in terms of their preferred ways. And then just be aware that the mountains can change. They're not going to move, but something that might be a small stream one day could be a big river the next day. And if you're expected to cross it, you might come into a bit of difficulty. So it's just a lot about being prepared, doing some planning, making sure you've told someone where you're going. Even if you're going in a large group, it's always worth saying to someone, look, we're going to wherever. This is where we're going to park from. We're hoping to go to here. We expect to be back in 4 hours. And yeah, it just helps then that if at least something does terribly go wrong, there's a few other people that are aware that we should have been back.
When is the last time, Shane, when did you last hold a physical map?
It's such a good question. My wife and I did actually buy a French Atlas last year, because we go to France most years driving, and we thought it'd be useful for planning. But I actually don't think we've opened it.
Really, yeah. Still reliant on Google Maps. What about you, Jared? Do you think it's impacted people's driving abilities?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I don't use Google Maps myself. I have to use Google Maps. If I have to, I let the passenger put in the code and direct me, because I can't be watching Google Maps at the same time and concentrating on the road. I think there's a health and safety issue there, like, you know what I mean? But generally, I don't use Google Maps. I mean, I was coming around Strawberry Bend there one day, and a fella coming around the bend in a 40-foot articulated truck. Strawberry Bend, he pushed me into a ditch, you know, where I rang the guards, and he said, yo, you have complaints about that truck driver. Now we have him going down, knock him around the hill. So obviously he was looking at his Google Maps, wasn't he? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but and I would have thought as a taxi driver, Ger, that you would use Google Maps a lot, even for the estimated arrival times, you know, and to avoid traffic.
No, only if I'm going into a new area and I don't know the area, I haven't used Google Maps. I can't even send an email, tell you the truth.
Right.
But I mean, I tell them, if the passengers, the Google Maps brings you the long way. I got people at the airport and they said, we go to the M50. And I said, why is that? Because the Google Maps is M50. And I said, that's an extra €20 on the fare. Like, you know what I mean?
doesn't tell you that part. It's funny, that is one of the things that I love, Shane, about Google Maps is, you know, totally just down to the estimated arrival time. The precision.
I know. I'm the same. Yeah. And especially over a longer journey where you can try a few different routes and what have you. I think we're not alone on that. I think a lot of people look at that and think, sure, now I can do better than that, Google, even without speeding. And I think taking your previous speaker's point there, absolutely, you shouldn't be using Google Maps touching the screen while driving or anything. I mean, a lot of people have these devices onto their dashboard and they'll put in the destination before
they go. Connected to the phone,
A lot of modern cars have built-in apps that you can use, like Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, which Google Maps is built into, and that's integrated into the car system. So obviously 100% wouldn't be advocating touching the screen while driving.
Mm. Having Google Maps running when in the car can be useful, as it shows the speed limit for the road that you're on, as well as highlighting heavy traffic, says this texter. Shane O'Donoghue, editor of CompleteCar.ie. Edward, also Ger. Adele Doherty from Mountain Rescue, thanks a million for joining us. Mary has got in touch finally to say, I was in Carlo over the weekend and because of the tiny roads Google Maps was sending us, I stopped on the road and ordered a road map from Amazon there and then. Much more beneficial.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.